It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this, the 27th day of January, 2021. My goodness gracious, January has flown by, hasn't it? Well, 2021 only began on the 20th of January, so I guess 2021 will be a 345-day year. Hi, I'm Robin, and it's prayer meeting Wednesday on the horn, and that means that we'll gather together for some lighthearted examinations of the religion industry, if we can only find enough time after we get done with all the maggots and the terrorists and the, yeah, those people, right, sure. If you'd like to enhance your listening experience, of course, I highly recommend popping on over to headon.live. And if you've never done so before, pick yourself out a screen name and a password. The conversation is mighty fine. And if you do so, you will be immediately greeted by the likes of Anatole and Roger and Oregon and Squeaky, and capably moderated by pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan. So it's going to be a good time. And every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude. This program is no different. And so thanks go out to our 27th day of the month subscribers. That means thanks. Thanks very kindly to Robert in Australia. And thanks for jumping in on the existing fundraising goal. Thank you to a dear, dear friend of mine, Lila, down in Alabama. Thank you, Lila. Thank you to our pal Joy in Ann Arbor. Thank you very kindly. And thanks for answering Joey and Giraffe's challenge last night, our buddy Mike in Cascadia. So where does that leave us? Well, we've got $415 to finish the month of January. And if we can do that a little bit, if we could do that this evening, that'd be two nights of fundraising free radio, Thursday and Friday, and that would be awesome. I don't know if we can do it, but we can damn sure try. So 415, if you want to help out, you know, the PayPal interface is right there at headon.live. We can always use new subscribers. That's one of the long-term goals, is to have enough subscribers for me not to have to do this. And a reminder, the GoFundMe button is at the top of the page there at headon.live as well, if you'd like to help out with the GoFundMe campaign. And remember, everybody who kicks in $120 or more to the GoFundMe campaign gets a sturdy, heavyweight, 15-ounce Horn dishwasher-safe coffee mug, thanks to an anonymous friend who provided them for us to be able to give away. So I think that takes care of most of. If I seem a little punchy this evening, it's because I'm freaking exhausted. But that takes care of most of the housekeeping, with one exception. Just a reminder, on her program on Friday, I will be joining Nicole Sandler, my pal Nicole Sandler, in conversation there that afternoon, that evening. So tune in to Nicole's program Friday if you'd like to see and hear what it is that we're talking about. Okay? Yeah? No, what I was saying is I am freaking exhausted. you know, I'm doing some therapy now, you know, in conjunction with the whole transition thing and everything. So had to be up at 5 o'clock, and Agnes and I find it difficult to get to sleep at an early hour just because we have such a lovely time together, watching movies and stuff as the evening wanes. So, I was exhausted when I woke up at 5, and it takes that long to, you know, get me even resembling presentable. So I had a therapy appointment at 8. And those things are emotionally draining. Anybody who's ever been through therapy, counseling, whatever, knows that if you're working at it, it's not going to be a walk in the park, and it's going to be, you know, the goal is to help, but in the short term, it can take an emotional toll. So, I've been pretty much going nonstop since 5 a.m. And so that was 12 hours ago, and a little punchy. I've been down to the settlements for provisions and all the things that I have to do. I'm sorry, I thought I heard Agnes. Okay, I thought maybe she was, talking to someone else. Who knows? But anyway, let's get this prayer meeting rolling. I have a note here from, the program note from Joey. Filibuster. On this day in history, Johannes Chrysostomus Wolfgangus Theophilus Buster Mozart was born in Salzburg, Austria. Mozart would later get rid of the theo-operatical filibuster and a few other names, as Mozart just became known as Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart for short. And this, of course, leads to a filibuster from Giraffe. Well, hopefully Chuck Schumer will drop a few names, i.e. Manchin and Sinema, and get rid of our own filibuster. I mean, what more does Joe want? Hell, he already has a mansion. And Kristen has her very own, Kristen has her very own Sinema. Yeah, I know, Jeffrey, but let's get back to Mozart because it's Mozart's birthday. Mozart was believed to be the most prolific and influential composer of the classical period. He composed more than 600 pieces, many of which are acknowledged as pinnacles of symphonic, concertante, chamber, operatic, and choral music. He is considered among the greatest classical composers of all time, and his influence on Western music is profound. Mozart covered every musical genre of his time period, many with his magic flute. Mozart made the music as he avoided the conventional rules of the day and composed opera his way. Oh, no. Well, Jeffrey with wine and song. How about that? Yes, I do believe Mozart was amazing because he's a flutist or a flautist. He flouted the norms of traditional composition with his own style and grace. Yet recently, a dumb Republican, Kanye West, tried to inform Jeffrey that Mozart did not cover all the genres because he never composed rap music, to which Jeffrey replied, well, actually, Mozart played allegro and presto styles of music, and for those who know music, one would recognize allegro and presto are music that's played very, wait for it, allegro and presto are music that's played very rapidly. Never ends. So that was a bad rap to try and lay on Mozart. I wish Kanye West would just go south already. Good job, Jeffrey. And as we all know, Republicans are not wrapped any too tight. On this day in 1880, Thomas Edison received a patent for his electric incandescent lamp. And that just leads to Jeffrey's just beaming, lighting up the conversation. Yes, and Mrs. Edison was so excited that she gave Thomas wait for it. Yes, Mrs. Edison was so excited she gave Thomas a lamp dance. Oh, dear. Finally, on this day in 1981, President Iron Reagan committed treason upon welcoming home the hostages from Iran. Jeffrey, ironically, contributes to the conversation. Yes, Iran-Contra, the Ronald Reagan treason treat, that paved the way for another illegal Republican president. God save us all on this prayer meeting Wednesday. This has been Joey's Journal for prayer meeting Wednesday, the 27th day of January, 2021, with Giraffe playing his flute with his contraband. Right. So, well, and thank you for that note from Randy at Radar talking about therapy, and you end up blaming your upbringing, and sometimes that's well justified. It's okay. The therapist has heard it all before. But you must be aware, sometimes you only get a therapist that's versed in brain chemistry and not personality types. These brain chemistry therapists tend to push pills instead of understanding the psychological issues of the patient. Well, that's why I'm doing my therapy with somebody who doesn't push pills. And there's no, chemical therapy called for or even wanted in this situation. This is just a matter of working through a lot of, well, you see, gender touches everything, so working through everything, but with an emphasis or an emphasis on issues relating to gender. So, it is, in fact, prayer meeting Wednesday, but I think we'll be a little while before we wander into the empty sanctuary to begin the sermonizing. Just because there's some, well, I'm fully cognizant of the fact that Joe Biden is not nearly ideologically pure enough to suit us. Gosh almighty, I mean, if he was giving away free Priuses to everybody in the country, he still wouldn't be ideologically, no. I am. Question coming. Hope you're taking your vitamin D and fish oil. I am. I take it religiously, morning and night. And I've also added in 1,000 milligrams of time-released vitamin C, and that helps too, supposedly. Oddly enough, of all the things that they say can actually be good for, because they've tried, you know, they're looking for everything, or looking at everything. The blood pressure medicine that I take is an ACE inhibitor, and they say ACE inhibitors are good for warding off the Rona. And then, lo and behold, the other day, son of a gun, there it is. Estrogen is apparently good for warding off the Rona. Well, I know it's good for what ails me, so there's that. But anyway, we'll get into the sanctuary. The little old ladies of the the Cathedral Fellowship Hall have done yeoman work through the course of the pandemic. They've never let up. They've never quit. And in point of fact, they did a bang up job this evening. Around here in these parts, they call it a roast beef split, a nice thick toasted piece of bread with some roast beef and gravy and mashed potatoes, and served open faced. Yes, sir. Right, tasty. Right, tasty indeed. And, you know, they're taking into account the potassium stuff with me, so I appreciate it. Some interesting stories. We're all still waiting, I think it was just last night, wasn't it? But I was talking about the sense of waiting for the other shoe to drop, that there's more and nasty on the way. And I say it here and it comes out there, so there it was today. For the first time in a year, a bulletin issued by the Department of Homeland Security, an advisory saying that the country is still in danger of more domestic right-wing, white-wing terrorism in the weeks and months ahead, which sort of matches up with what we've been hearing about some, you know, lunacy touching upon March the 4th. Because now apparently the cucumbers, the Q-tips have gotten together with the prone toward even greater violence sovereign citizen types, and that makes for an ugly potential scene. But with that having been said, lo and behold, the warning is out there, so, you know, if you see something, say something, as the saying goes. And the other thing that goes with that, of course, is that More revelations about Marjorie Taylor Green Cucumber and the nasty little stalker threat conveyor, potentially dangerous individual that she is. Yeah, Kevin McCarthy said that he had seen the revelations about Marjorie Taylor Green Cucumber, and he was going to have a talk with her. Yeah, I don't know what kind of talk Kevin McCarthy's going to have with Marjorie Taylor Green Cucumber, because they both supported the insurrection and the attack on the Capitol. They both fostered it. They both fanned the flames of it. So, I mean, what's their conversation going to be? Hey, Margie. Yeah, nice work. Try not to say the quiet part out loud quite so often, Marge, would you? Because Marjorie Taylor Greene Cucumber is some kind of nasty. In fact, it was a while back, in the aftermath of the massacre at Marjorie Stone Stoneman Douglas High School, that Marjorie Taylor Greene Cucumber decided to stalk and go after David Hogg, referring to him as hashtag hogwash, hashtag little Hitler.
Yeah. David, why are you supporting the red flag laws? If there had been, if Scott Peterson, the resource officer at Parkland, had done his job, then Nicholas Cruz wouldn't have killed anybody in your high school, or at least protected them. Why are you supporting red flag gun laws that attack our Second Amendment rights? And why are you using kids to get to, as a barrier? Do you not know how to defend your stance? Look, I'm an American citizen. I'm a gun owner. I have a concealed carry permit. I carry a gun with for protection for myself. And you are using your lobby and the money behind it and the kids to try to take away my Second Amendment rights.
Now, she's blathering this the whole time. David Hogg has shown her his back, and she continues to... And by the way, she proudly says that she carries a concealed weapon. This is all taking place in Washington, D.C., where she does not have the right to carry a concealed weapon that is unregistered with D.C. authorities. So, for all we know, this may have actually been... This may be evidence of a crime that was taking place then.
You don't have anything to say for yourself? You can't defend your stance? How did you get over 30 appointments with senators? How'd you do that? How did you get major press coverage on this issue? And how did you get kids? Why do you use kids? Why kids? You know, if school zones were protected with security guards with guns, there would be no mass shootings at schools. Do you know that? The best way to stop a bad guy with a gun is with a good guy.
Oh, turn around and punch her in the face.
And yet you're attacking our Second Amendment. And you have nothing to say. No words. So I'm walking. He's got nothing to say.
He's been well educated.
He has nothing to say because there really isn't anything to say, you guys. He has nothing to say because he's paid to do this. He has the walkaway march. Mm-hmm. He's got the women's march, and they're funding all of this. Every Town Gun USA, they're funding all this stuff, okay? That was David Hogue right there. David, we saw him inside the Senate building. He had 30 appointments where he ran around and got to talk to senators. I got to talk to none. He had media coverage all over the place. I had...
Well, gosh, he hadn't, and there's the crux of the problem, isn't it?
Zero. Guess
there. That's what pissed off Marjorie Taylor Greene Cucumber. Right there. He had media coverage, and she had none.
Senate building. He had 30 appointments where he ran around and got to talk to senators. I got to talk to none. He had media coverage all over the place. I had zero. Guess what? I'm a gun owner.
Yeah, you're a gun owner. You're going to shoot us all. Yeah, whatever. But, you know, the difference between Marjorie Taylor Greene Cucumber and David Hogg is that Marjorie Taylor Greene Cucumber was not the victim of an attack that was brought on by the ease of access with which people, like the aforementioned Mr. Cruz, could access, even as a teenager, an assault weapon that is more typically designed for usage in, you know, warfare. Right, sure, you bet. If you want to see or replay this, you can find it on YouTube. It's titled Marjorie Greene, G-R-E-E-N-E. They don't use the word cucumber. Marjorie Greene confronts David Hogg. Answering the question, no Senate appointments. Steve in New York says, well, that's because you're batshit crazy and nobody likes you. Oh, but lots of people like her. Lots of people in, what is it, the 14th District of Georgia? Where if the Democratic candidate for that House seat gave out $1 million check to every voter, still couldn't get elected in that batshit crazy district, because of course it's gerrymandered just about past comprehension, and so the K file, the folks at K file over at CNN dug up this video, and God knows there's oodles and oodles. My God, she's a nasty, vile, hateful, privileged thing.
I'm an American citizen, and I have nothing but this guy with his George Soros funding and his major liberal funding.
George Soros fund with his Jew funding. Why don't you say that? Just say that, Marjorie Taylor Greene Cucumber. Jew. Because George Soros is the modern day, we all know, the modern day equivalent of saying that it was the Bilderbergers or the Rothschilds or the learned elders of Zion. God, they haven't had an original idea since the first pogroms. And even those weren't original ideas. And Jesus Christ, what an idiot. So she's been found out. And she is now scrubbing her social media for all she's worth, but she didn't manage to scrub it all. For instance, that video popped up. And more disturbingly, and gosh, I'm thinking this really, if it weren't for our fetishized approach to the First Amendment, this really wouldn't be protected speech. When she was agreeing with someone on social media, namely that Nancy Pelosi should be, murdered. Oh yeah, yeah. And she wanted the same for Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. But will the Republican caucus in the House of Representatives deal with this? No. We all make mistakes once in a while, and I'm sure Marjorie Taylor Greene Cucumber has disavowed her violent ways. Bullshit. Yeah, bullshit. Andrew Kaczynski, K-Files at CNN, having found this. At one point, like I said, she referred to David Hogg as Little Hitler, bought and paid little pawn, a paid actor. And, of course, Parkland was a, cue Alex Jones, false flag. But she didn't manage to get it all. And a lot of that nastiness has managed to survive. And nasty indeed it is. What's that, Steve, in New York? Risperdone. I'm thinking of getting some Risperdone and sending it to her. don't do that. Don't do that. She's not worth the bust. Flavio says, my God, sweet Jesus, that voice is annoying as fuck. Stick a sock in it. Yeah, I know. Elbert in Rhode Island says, a prominent Proud Boys leader was outed as an FBI informant today. I know, that would not prominent. The head of the Proud Boys, Enrique Tarrio, was outed as, in fact, a snitch. This is what is referred to as, being burned. Somebody put out a burn notice on Enrique Tarrio. And now he's going to have some real problems with his terrorist pals there, because nobody wants a stool pigeon or a snitch in their midst. No. And so I don't know what the Proud Boys will do to him. Rod wasn't no snitch. Yeah, he was. Reuters got hold of some court documents that show that he was a prolific informant. After a bust in 2012 for selling hot diabetes test kits. That's the entrepreneurial Republican spirit. Now, being a decent journalism outfit, Reuters reached out to Enrique Tarrio and said, "I don't know any of this. I don't recall any of this." Well, a former federal prosecutor named Vanessa Singh Johannes spoke to Reuters and said that Enrique Tarrio, quote, cooperated with local and federal law enforcement to aid in the prosecution of those running other separate criminal enterprises, ranging from running marijuana growing houses in Miami to operating pharmaceutical fraud schemes. And he got his sentence reduced after a guilty plea in a fraud case. What they were doing was relabeling and selling, like I said, hot diabetes test kits. And then because he rolled, 13 people were prosecuted on federal charges in two separate cases. And he even went so far as to help local authorities look into a gambling ring. And back then, in open court, Tarrio's then-lawyer, Jeffrey Filer, said in court that his client had worked undercover in numerous investigations, one involving the sale of anabolic steroids, another regarding wholesale prescription narcotics, and a third one targeting human smuggling. How about that? And yet these people are running around thinking there's a gang of cannibal pedophile Democrats. Again, lawyer Filer said Tarrio helped police uncover three marijuana grow houses and was a prolific cooperator. You can read it all at Reuters. But I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for Enrique Tarrio's future about now. Because as I pointed out before, they don't like us, our side, but they despise with a homicidal rage betrayers. See, says Steve in New York, but they both do it. Libtard shaming Sarah Huckleberry Saddlebags grifter Grill Sanders at a restaurant is the same thing as calling for the murder of Nancy Pelosi. Both sides. Sure. Burn notice, and Enrique Tarrio is pretty much charcoal at this point. Yeah. What's that? Lee in New York says, false flag. Why is it that the people who claim others use false flags are the ones who carry Virginia's Confederate battle flag, Trump flags, blue line flags, don't tread on me flags, all of which are, curiously enough, you're right, Lee, false flags. We're learning all kinds of things about all kinds of people. One of the folks who was big in terms of replying and retweeting and amplifying Nitwit Nero on Twitter has himself a brand new shiny indictment. Just today, the DOJ announced indictment against Douglas Mackey, 31 years old, Florida man, and he posted racist pro-Trump propaganda under his Twitter handle, Ricky Vaughn. He's now facing a charge of conspiring with others in advance of the 2016 U.S. presidential election to use various social media platforms to disseminate misinformation designed to deprive individuals of their constitutional right to vote. What does that mean in plainer language? Well, he and his fellow travelers used Twitter to push false information toward black voters, claiming that they could vote via text messages. And the DOJ pleadings, for example, on November 1st, 2016, Mackey allegedly tweeted an image that featured an African-American woman standing in front of an African-Americans for the candidate sign. The candidate means Trump. The image included the following text: avoid the line, vote from home, text, candidate's first name. Or maybe it wasn't Trump. Candidate's first name to a number, vote for the individual to be part of history. Yeah, nasty little Nazi is apparently Douglas Mackey, because they gravitated to Donald Trump like, oh, I don't know, like Nazis to a Fuhrer. Because in the grand scheme of things, that's exactly what Nitwit Nero was to them. So much for that being a hoax that people tried to manipulate the 2016 vote. Yep, don't care to ever hear that word again. Jesus, these people. But it's like they're beginning to, it's like we've kicked a rotten wall and seen, or the rusted corner of a dumpster and seen it just spill out oodles of roaches. Well, there went dinner in the Eastern Standard Time Zone. Full of protein they are. Yeah, did you know that? So let's go to Alaska. What did Delaware? Idaho, Alaska. Sorry. Bad. No, this is the story of Jamie Allard. And at one point in time, Jamie Allard was a member of the Anchorage, Alaska Assembly. And she actually sat on the Alaska State Discrimination Board. And then somebody noticed that she has a license plate that reads the numeral 3, R-E-I-C-H, 3 Reich. And she said, if you speak the language fluently, you would know that this is the English definition of the word. The progressives have put a spin on it and created their own definition. No. No, not so much. So the Republican governor of Alaska, Mike Dunleavy, has yanked Ms. Allard from the anti-discrimination board, saying, the comments made by Ms. Allard regarding the license plate controversy have become a distraction for the Human Rights Commission and its mission to ensure equality and fair treatment of all Alaskans. You know, I don't think it's really the distraction problem. It's the having a Nazi on the Human Rights Commission problem that, yes. And then came Ms. Allard's statement. I don't know how it sounded in the original German, but she said, I appreciate the opportunity to serve Alaskans both on the Anchorage Assembly and previously on the Human Rights Commission. I unequivocally condemn racism in every form and support the mission of the Commission 100%. In light of recent attacks against me, I feel it is best to step aside so the Commission can focus on its work, and it will allow me more time to focus on my Assembly duties. Well, maybe the next thing is to bounce her out of the Assembly, because, really, Who wants a Nazi on their town assembly, huh? And there are attacks against her. Simply reporting that she has a license plate that says Third Reich is apparently attacking her. God, the privilege of these spoiled, rotten maggots. Marjorie Taylor Greene Cucumber, this woman, Mr. Snitch, Enrique Tarrio. Steve in New York points out, here's the best part of Mr. Snitch. This will turn the paranoia up to 11 within all the nascent fascist cults. I sense the consummate circular firing squad, and it is beautiful. Yeah, it is. It is. And I hope they're absolutely eaten up with it. I hope it consumes all their days and nights. Wouldn't bother me in the least. Oh, let's see here. I got a note from Darlene in Connecticut. The more I read this, the more and more I like it, and it makes some sense. Of course, could the gun be turned on us when the Repigs are in power? But I like the idea and need to cogitate on it more. And what Darlene is referring to is a story headlined, Expert has a brilliant strategy for Democrats to protect their agenda from the Supreme Court. And it has to do with something that has been published in Slate by Keshav Poddar. And it offers a possible roadmap for how to keep from getting rat-fucked by the maggots on the Supreme Court. You know, Amy Covid Barrett and Brett Kavanaugh. Yeah. Poddar, in his article, wrote, Against all odds, an ideologically reinvigorated Democratic Party has won the House, Senate, and presidency. Democrats have the opportunity to finally deliver long-overdue reforms to address structural economic inequality, provide every American with adequate health care, and take aggressive action to save our environment before it's too late. But Moscow Mitch McConnell left Democrats with one big problem, the courts. And what Keshav Poddar then goes on to suggest is that Democrats deploy a new legislative tactic that's never been tried before. They can include clearly constitutional precautionary backup provisions in progressive legislation that would automatically take effect if the primary policies in the bill are invalidated. The backup provisions would usually involve extreme but undeniably constitutional policies designed to achieve the same original goals as the preferred policy. This will either force the court to lay off progressive programs or enable progressive policy aims to be achieved even if it intervenes. And here's an example of it. Congress passes a 2% wealth tax on fortunes over $100 million, but, you know, the warning is that the Republicans would challenge the tax as unconstitutional in the courts. With that example in mind, Poddar says, as a precaution, the Speaker could insert an automatic backup provision into the wealth tax bill, which stipulates that if the wealth tax is invalidated by the courts, the stimulus program will instead be funded by dramatically increasing marginal income tax rates for high-income earners to 80%. Thus, you have two alternative policies contained in one bill. Most Democrats and economists probably prefer the wealth tax as a better, fairer policy, but big increases in marginal tax rates could achieve roughly the same goal, albeit less efficiently. Well, that's downright devious. And as such, has a certain amount of beauty to it. Yeah. So let's see, Alaska. Oh, up in Michigan, the POS maggot legislature there says that if Gretchen Whitmer doesn't give up her ability to administer the pandemic as governor of the state of Michigan. Might as well ask her to resign. Why not? But if she doesn't do that, they, in turn, will, as the legislature, withhold billions of bucks in federal money. And what they're particularly upset about and their goal is for Gretchen Whitmer and the state health department to stop exercising authority over in-person school or sports as the result of a health emergency, saying that local health departments should have that. Fucking maggots. Because, you know, I guess there's just not enough dead people in Michigan to satisfy the Republicans who, of course, remember, very likely think that it's that COVID-19 a year in has killed over 400,000 human beings. We're on the way to 500,000. Yeah, that's fine by them. House Appropriations Committee Chairman Thomas Albert of Pig Lickin' from Lowell, Michigan said, "I have reviewed the governor's budget request, and it is off the mark by a wide margin. The governor's plan is focused on corporate giveaways and guarding government. Our plan will provide hope that people might still have a livelihood. Her plan has talking points about supporting summer school. Our plan actually puts forth funding to help schools make it a reality." The story is over at the Detroit Free Press. And, among other things, they've been holding out money from the vaccination program. And their overall plan in the Michigan legislature is about $3.2 billion. In other words, it's $2 billion short of that requested and put forth by the Whitmer administration there in Lansing. Yeah. The governor simply wants a blank check to continue a broken vaccine rollout strategy. Oh, suddenly the vaccine rollout strategy's broken. Wonder how that happened. Our plan requires transparency and accountability, forcing the administration to start delivering results. It's in everyone's best interest for the legislature to be heavily involved in the state's COVID-19 recovery plan, and we're getting involved. Well, since when did you want to be involved? Because the last I checked, the Republicans in Michigan were only involved to the extent that they were, encouraging people to take their goddamn guns to the state house and create a potential terrorism nightmare. Never a dull moment. Oh, and, you know, this is one of those cases of the best laid plans of mice and men gang after glee. The Biden administration, in trying to do everything right and everything fast, of course, found an American Sign Language for the Deaf interpreter for the White House press room. But apparently they didn't quite vet her well enough. The person in question is Heather Mewshaw, M-E-W-S-H-A-W. Time magazine has reported that it turns out that Heather Mewshaw, who was to be, and apparently still is, the ASL interpreter for the White House press room, she's a wing nut. She's a loony. She's probably a Q-tip for all we know. But she's what Heather Mewshaw did was to serve as an ASL interpreter for videos that push misinformation, disinformation about vaccines, pushed conspiracies about theories about the recently passed election, pushed conspiracy theories about the insurrectionist attack on the Capitol of the United States, And this is, you know, how the hell did she get a job? I mean, this isn't even old. This is a recent, you know, she was attacking Joe Biden over the troops, National Guard troops, sleeping in a parking garage in the dead of winter. She formed an American Sign Language for the Deaf group called Right Side ASL, according to Time. But then they got deplatformed for that by Facebook and changed the name of it to Hands of Liberty. Then Time noticed all this, reached out to Ms. Mewshaw, and somehow or another, miraculously, magically, the Hands of Liberty Facebook page went poof. Yeah. And almost a great majority of the videos are, you know, maggot videos. So hopefully she will, and I'm sure she'll become a, this is a way to become a darling on, you know, Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground, Newsmuck, whatever. In other words, it's a punched ticket to wingnut welfare land. But really, when you consider the number of people who aren't conversant with ASL, do you really want a maggot allegedly translating to sign language the words of, say, Jen Psaki? How did she get a job without engaging in some level of false pretense? Hopefully she won't be the White House press room interpreter much beyond today, if she still even is. But it some stuff is bound to get through the cracks. And just to give you an idea of how potentially deadly the cucumbers are, over at the New York Times, there's a report today by Stuart Thompson, who really took one for the team and got inside a cucumber chat room. In the New York Times, Mr. Thompson writes, "I spent the past 3 weeks listening to the channel from before the January 6th Washington protest to after Mr. Biden's inauguration. It became an obsession, something I'd check first thing every morning and listen to as I fell asleep at night. Participants tend to revere Mr. Trump and believe he'll end the crisis outlined by Q, that the world is run by a cabal of pedophiles who operate a sex trafficking ring, among other crimes. And I can never read that language without thinking, well, I mean, there was one. And it was run by Donald Trump's fucking buddy, Jeffrey Epstein. I don't know how deep in the stack it is, but I saw a story, maybe over the weekend, it was the account of a woman who says she was forced to have sex with both Jeffrey Epstein and Nitwit Nero. In the not so distant past. Oh, but that's not. No, that's not what. That's not what they're worried about. No. So that thing is, it's a chilling account in the New York Times. at one point in time, let's see what all went on in there. Joe Biden lowered the age of sexual consent to 8, and Biggie and Tupac were murdered by the deep state, and Mr. Thompson noted one person on one of these message boards saying, "I wish they'd storm the Congress and the Senate and pull all them treasonous guys out of there. Honestly, I think the Patriots should have been allowed to go in there, grab those." Now, this is after January the 6th. This is why there is still a threat against the Capitol and against we the people from domestic terrorists, insurgents. "Honestly, I think the Patriots should have been allowed to go in there, grab those SOBs and pull them out of the building and, you know, have an execution right there." A woman replies, "They're guilty. Treason. Behead them all." Hmm. Vanilla ISIS indeed. Yeah. Thompson continued in his article, "There's a persistent belief that the online world is somehow not real. Extreme views are too easily dismissed if they're on the internet. While people might say things online they would never do in person, all it takes is one person for digital conspiracies to take a deadly turn. That should be clear after the Capitol," there's that word, "riot, after the attack on the Capitol, which was largely organized online and resulted in 5 deaths." Do you find that as chilling as I do? Because I do find it chilling. Indeed. Talk about therapy. Matt in San Francisco says, "Orange and Epstein, talk about scarred for life and there not being enough therapy in the world." Isn't that the truth? But there it, you know. They're not interested in Jeffrey Epstein because they don't think that's the real pedophile sex trafficking cabal. That's not the big one. No, the big one's run out of a pizza joint in D.C. that doesn't have out of the basement of a pizza joint in D.C. that, you know, doesn't have a basement. We now have a better picture of the final moments of Nitwit Nero before he exited the White House on the 20th. Jim Acosta from CNN saying, "It was sort of a sad and pathetic sight. I've never seen him this alone the entire time he was at the level of presidential politics. Essentially, what we saw was the undoing of the Trump presidency. What we saw the president build over the course of 4 or 5 years out on the campaign trail and over at the White House just sort of unraveled at the end." But Acosta also points out that he expects Nitwit Nero to be back and to be back on Twitter. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was talking about at the beginning of the program. Darlene sending along the story from ABC News. DHS uses alert system for the first time in a year to warn of domestic terrorism threat. They're not kidding. Oh, no, they're not. Anger fueled by false narratives, especially relative to the 2020 election, could, they say, lead some inside the United States to launch attacks in the coming weeks. This is the quote from the bulletin. "Information suggests that some ideologically motivated violent extremists with objections to the exercise of governmental authority and the presidential transition, as well as other perceived grievances fueled by false narratives, could continue to mobilize to incite or commit violence." And that was the first use of the alert system since well, about a year ago, when the Nitwit Nero gang tried to Bruga Merca into thinking that the Ayatollah himself was going to come over and render all our Walmarts into a heap of smoke and rubble. But in the bulletin today, DHS continued, motivated by a range of issues, including anger over COVID-19 restrictions, the 2020 election results, and police use of force, have plotted and on occasion carried out attacks against government facilities, and longstanding racial and ethnic tension, including opposition to immigration, has driven domestic terrorist attacks. DHS is concerned these same drivers to violence will remain through early 2021, and some domestic terrorists may be emboldened by the January 6, 2021 breach of the U.S. Capitol building, yada yada, only they didn't use the term domestic terrorists. Some may be emboldened. Some who? Domestic terrorists. Because they are. So again, you know, it's a matter of us keeping our eyes open everywhere. You know, what'll it be? A federal building in Alabama? Or maybe a COVID testing site in, I don't know, West Virginia? Because we are well and truly and thoroughly infested. And probably one of the most annoying things that I read today was an article that said that there seems to be some split of opinion as to whether to prosecute everybody who was at the attack on the Capitol. Well, I'm pretty sure that the Capitol grounds were not open and the Capitol itself was not open for for siege practice or a treason practicum. And so we go back to what I've been saying over and over and over again, namely that we need a special counsel with a whole bunch of lawyers whose only job is to track down everybody, and I do mean everybody, who had a hand in this noxious, toxic, treasonous conspiracy. And I don't throw that word around lightly. News out today that another of Nitwit Nero's supporters is, well, in trouble. This particular maggot's name is Ian Rogers. He's 44 years old. Now charged with unlawful possession of unregistered destructive devices. Well, thank God he didn't register them, because then I guess we couldn't charge him. Napa, California. And in the execution of a search warrant, law enforcement officials found dozens of weapons, thousands of rounds of ammunition, and the makings of improvised explosive devices. You know, when an American does it, when a maggot does it, we just call them pipe bombs. But by God, if it happens in the land between the rivers, Mesopotamia, they're improvised explosive devices. Yeah. Ian Rogers, the maggot, says, well, I just built them for fun. But that was sort of given the lie by the presence of a 3%er militia sticker and statements he made saying that he wanted to attack Democrats and places associated with Democrats in an effort to ensure Trump remained in office. And they found his phone. And it was full of text messages. Like, we can attack Twitter or the Democrats. You pick. We can attack Twitter and Democrats easy right now. Burn their shit down. I want to blow up a Democrat building bad. I hope 45 goes to war. If he doesn't, I will. Yeah, he was just having fun. Because doesn't that sound delightful? I mean, what a wonderful way to spend a day. You know, conspiring to slaughter people for no other reason than having a political view that is different from his bloody own. You see, one of the things that's going to happen is the court system is going to get, and it's already bad enough, the court system's already in enough of a bind considering what's going on with COVID and the ability to have in-person hearings and adhere to all the constitutional requirements of an accused in a criminal proceeding. It's already hard enough. Now, however, a couple of thousand cases of illegally being in a restricted area, something like that. And what I think should still be at least 100 or more cases of felony murder. However many people went into the Capitol, felony murder for every last one of them. Yeah. Jesus. Well, there's some good news, though. Mike Meth Lindell of My Pillar. Well, the business isn't going so well now. No. After he pushed and promoted the rally that was the staging area for the attack on the Capitol, well, My Pillow's become kind of toxic. You know, Lindell wanting martial law and whatnot. Whining that fake people made Bed Bath & Beyond and Kohl's drop his stupid pillows. Or the fact that people are reviewing his pillows for what they are, that they suck. The complaint is that, Chris Aleri, who is a brand consultant for Mulberry and Astor, said, Lindell's being dropped right and left by legitimate retailers, not because he's friends with Trump, not because he's some victim, because he has a big mouth that's been spewing lies. No brand wants to associate with a dumpster fire like that. Ooh, I bet that, you know, considering what it's made of, I bet a dumpster fire of My Pillows put out a hell of a cloud of toxic smoke. Advancing a false narrative of a stolen election has consequences. Maybe some of Trump's deranged diehards might want to buy his products. That's not enough to build a legitimate brand with staying power. Well, good. Good, good. And over on the Filthy Morning Habit, as Steve reminds us in New York, Joe has begun referring to Mike Meth Lindell as Mr. Pillow. And Steve's talking about Mr. Pillow and Mr. Snitch, you know, Enrique Tarrio. I wonder what that means for Mo Brooks, Les Brames, and his two treasonous collaborators. Oh, my. I wonder if maybe Mr. Tarrio might want to do a little more snitching. I wonder how many people are nervous about that. I bet more than a few. Oh, and some just a few minutes ago, some sad news broke. A hearty Blucher. Going out to the spirit of Cloris Leachman, who passed away today at 94 years old. He was my boyfriend. God, she was good. And lived a rich and full life. She won an Academy Award, starred in numerous TV comedies, The Mary Tyler Moore Show, among other things. Made a lot of people laugh. And of course, for me, that, she was, Phyllis somebody on Mary Tyler Moore. But as Frau Blücher, on Young Frankenstein, that's where her she was carved into my memory. And you know why? Just trivia point. You know why you always hear a horse whinny every time someone says Blücher? Because Blücher means glue. Glue. Yeah. Right. Oh, and further hilarity with regard to Michael and Mr. Pillow. Mr. Pillow. He's threatening to sue a British tabloid because he says that his integrity as a Christian has been harmed by a report that he had sexy time with the actress Jane Krakowski. Yeah. And he's hired the hilariously named Charles Harder to sue the Daily Mail in the UK. Interviewed by the Daily Beast, Mr. Pillow said, "Charles Harder is the attorney. I never met this lady in my life and have never been to the West Village and the Hamptons where they said I was in the hit piece." That doesn't even make any sense. They've done so much damage to my reputation. I mean, you know, spreading a lie about about the election being stolen, urging people to participate in an insurrection and an attack on the U.S. Capitol. Nah, that didn't harm his reputation. They've done so much damage to my reputation. I'm not just going for a demand letter or a retraction. I want to go after them with a lawsuit because they've damaged my integrity as a Christian and my network to help addicts everywhere. Yeah, sure. Ooh, that ought to be a fun little lawsuit. They've damaged my integrity as a Christian. My God, the cross-examination on his Christianity, the deposition alone could go for a week or more. Now, Mr. Pillow, can you tell us what the impact of your Christianity was on bearing false witness regarding the outcome of the 2020 presidential election in the United States? Could you tell us that, Mr. Pillow? Yeah. Mr. Pillow, tell us what part of the Gospels imbued you with the authority to urge Donald Trump to declare martial law, which he has no right to declare. How's that fit with your Christianity? Where is that in the Beatitudes, Mr. Christian? You're persecuting me! No. You filed the lawsuit. Now, all kidding aside, Charles Harder is not to be taken lightly because it was Charles Harder who sued Gawker. You may remember when Gawker was still a thing. He sued Gawker and put them out of business over Hulk Hogan's claim against, Bubba the Love Sponge over a recording that apparently Bubba made while having sex with Hulk Hogan's wife. And apparently, if I recall correctly, with Hulk Hogan's consent. But somehow or another, that lawsuit survived. And Charles Harder, back in 2017, also, he pettifogged a settlement out of the Daily Mail on behalf of Melanoma over an article in which they said that she had once been an escort. That was an untrue statement. She was not an escort. And that's why I was always very, very careful to describe Melanoma Trump in terms that were absolutely factually true. She was and remains the only presidential spouse in the history of this nation ever to remove her clothing for the sexual gratification of perfect strangers in exchange for money. Even Charles Harder couldn't get a judgment on that. Charles Harder, Stephen, New York, says, I hear he makes a good stiff drink and can erect a really good case. It had to happen, didn't it? Yeah, it really did. It had to happen. Oh, and by the way, my apologies over the podcast. Weird things have been happening periodically, and the Podbean will show up, not show up. But I apologize. I'll, try to make sure that it goes up. And thanks to those of you who sent me notes saying that there was something went sideways last night. Yeah. Let's see. Rusty says, snitch. This all starting to sound a lot like what the COINTEL program aimed at the Black Panthers. Yeah, but the thing is, the Black Panthers weren't necessarily guilty, whereas Enrique Tarrio and these dirty bastards, well, they allegedly appear to be. They're sort of self-prosecuting, if you will. So that's a, that's a whole lot for just a, that's a whole lot of information to pack into just a little bit over an hour's worth of radio. And there's still an abundance more. And somewhere along the way, I've got a question for Roger in Oregon because, he's the canning expert. Roger, I have been going through Pepperoncini's left and right because I'm just the Star Trek salt monster right now. But I don't eat the Pepperoncini's as fast as I drink the brine. It's a problem. I know. Spare me. Don't bother with the email. Don't drink that. It's heavenly when you've got a salt Jones going on. But what I'm wondering, Roger, is do you have a basic recipe for recreating another vinegar brine so that I can pack it back on top of the peppers and just stick them in the fridge and let them soak and get more brine instead of constantly buying another jar? If you do, let me know. I'd appreciate it. It would be most helpful. Shit, you shitting me, Enri, Mr. Pillaguy? Jane Krakowski should be suing his ass and the Daily Mail for being associated with him in any respect. Yet she just issued a denial and kind of laughed it off. Which makes me wonder, Darlene says, who did Mr. Pillaguy actually do the nasty with against his Christian values? I'm beginning to wonder. And was it a woman? Maybe, as the late, great Bart Cop used to say, maybe he got caught with a man in his mouth. Oh, I've had that. Randy Radar pointing out Cabot makes a habanero cheddar cheese. It's wonderful. It really is. I ran across a pesto-infused Gouda the other day that was just magic over at the little shop over in Fayetteville. Green as grass. I mean, well, basil is a kind of a grass, but it had a beautiful flavor. Just beautiful. So, if the moon is made of green cheese, as they used to say, it's probably pesto Gouda. Yum, yum. So anyway, we are almost to the halfway point of the program, and conversation radio is still a thing. If you'd like to engage in a little conversation, you are more than welcome so to do. Easy to reach the program. On Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn, then the Skype direct dial phone number is 304-574-8178. And, of course, calls also come through to the Stress Line, named in memory of gone but not forgotten Bill, Mr. Stress Miller. That's 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN, the horn, 844-THE-HORN. So if there's something of interest to you, ring right in. Oh, wait, Lee in New York. Mike Lindell. You know, he calls his mate his main squeeze. That's just awful. Awesome. Awesome. Oh, you know how we were talking about the difference, you know, 47% of this, 53%. We talked about that a little bit last night, just you know, somewhat comically. Well, lo and behold, there is, and this is the prayer meeting, part of the prayer meeting Wednesday portion of the program. There's a new report out from something called Lifeway Research. Lifeway Research is a sort of think tank for the Southern Baptist Convention cult. But what was curious out of the report is what they managed to find out about what preachers, gospel sharps, are hearing in their own congregations. And so here's the bottom line on it. 49% of U.S. Protestant pastors say they frequently hear members of their congregation repeating conspiracy theories they have heard. 51% just aren't paying attention. Yeah. Yeah, one gospel sharp said, the poll question was, I frequently hear members of my congregation repeating conspiracy theories they've heard about why something is happening in our country. 49% agreed, 47% disagreed, and 5% of those preachers weren't sure. And somehow or another, rounding wound up with 49 and 4, that's 96, he wound up with 101%. Yeah. If Mike Lindell is sleeping with anyone, Megan says, it's with Senator Lady G in the restroom of the nearest Waffle House because they both scream romantic to the rest of us. Am I right? Isn't it romantic? Yeah, let's... So now that was dinner in the Central Standard Time Zone. Anyway, the executive director of Lifeway Research is Scott McConnell, who said, Christian churches resolve to be places focused on the truth, yet half of pastors hear the spread of assumptions about plots often. This is a startling disconnect. Well, maybe you, Scott. But for anybody who's ever been in a Southern Baptist congregation, this isn't particularly earth-shattering news. No. Because that's where a lot of this shit gets legs. And not just this kind of stuff, not just the conspiracy theories, but also things like, all Democrats are going to hell because fetuses. And here's the unstated part of the research report. Pastors not only hear it, shit like that, but they nod their heads in agreement. And the whole business about churches are places focused on the truth. Really? I mean, I've read the Bible. Have they? While conspiracy theories may be embraced by a minority of churchgoers, the larger the church, the more minds and mouths exist to be misled. That's more Scott McConnell. Apparently, I don't know if he's any kin to Mitch or not. At this time, it appears more of the theories are traveling in politically conservative circles, which corresponds to the higher percentages in the churches led by white Protestant pastors. Really? I'll be dipped. next thing you know, they're gonna come out with a report saying that a lot of little children get sexually abused in white Protestant churches. Again, they may be surprised. We won't be. No. So they're all kind of worked up, and but don't expect anything to come from it. And by the way, the same people that are they're talking about in this report, well, you know, white evangelicals, guess what else they do? Yeah. They watch Donald Trump do ungodly, horrible things and engage in conduct that is unchristian to say the very least. And they were okay with it. Yeah. Oh, who was the gospel sharp? I forget. Maybe it was Steve in New York that brought him up last night. Kept predicting the end of the world. The end of the world kept not happening. And nonetheless, died a filthy rich preacher. Well, enter Hank Kuhneman. Hank Kuhneman is the gospel sharp at One Voice Ministries. And he promised his congregation no qualifications on it, no ifs, ands, or buts, no maybes, that Donald Trump would get another presidential term. Oops. We know how that turned out now. But that's okay, because Hank Kuhneman doesn't want anybody thinking that you know, he's like, you know, false prophet or anything like that. No. He just prophesies falsely. It's not that he's a false prophet. Right? You see the distinction? No, I don't either.
God hates six things. Are you ready? Seven are an abomination.
Ah, Harold Camping. Thank you. Thank you, Steve in New York. Yeah, Harold Camping. God hates six things. Six things hateth God. Not five, not seven. Once the number six being reached, God will hate these things. It's something like that. Jesus, these people. Yeah.
God hates six things. Are you ready? Seven are an abomination. Number one, a proud look. Number two, a lying tongue. Number three, come on, abortion or hands that shed innocent blood. Yet you...
Doesn't say abortion
okay
in there.
Vote for him. And a heart that devises wicked imaginations, and yet you voted for them. It's obvious their wicked imaginations on how they want to destroy this country.
Huh. What were we just talking about? The Lifeways research and how... conspiracy theories in church and... I think we have a winner.
Feet that are swift in running to mischief. It's amazing how quickly they signed their executive orders. That's called feet that run quickly to mischief.
Executive orders, they ain't in the Constitution.
And then all the lies that happen and false witness that we've had to put up with since 2016 on the news. But notice something. God hates what? He didn't say he hates discord. He hates he. He.
He. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, not that.
Hates you that are being a troll. He hates you that are attacking your Christian brothers and sisters.
Oh, that must be the Christian brothers and sisters who repeatedly told scurrilous lies and promised that Donald Trump would still be president now. Okay.
Yeah, but they're false. They're wrong. Excuse me. How do you know? Because it hasn't come to pass. How do you know that it hasn't come to pass? First of all, The president was reelected. Let's get that clear.
Yeah, no, he wasn't. He's lying again. God's going to hate him.
Second of all, he was given a second term.
No, he wasn't. You're a liar.
Based on reelection. Well, he's not serving it now because it was stolen by thieves.
Yeah. Double down, motherfucker. Double down. Oh, God. Let's see. What do we got here? Kyle says, boy, that all-loving sky spook sure hates a lot of things, doesn't he? Also, he encouraged the woman to drink poison if she thought the baby wasn't hers, and if the baby died, it wasn't supposed to be hers, so that's a good thing. Guess what that is? Oh, right, yeah. Oh, for fuck's sake, says Kyle. I understand. And Jeremy says, but I thought God was love, y'all. Lying fuck. God is love, y'all. He loves him some conspiracy theories. And Lee pointing out, yep, God hates six things, but he wrote the Ten Commandments. Looks like God has trouble with numbers. Having trouble with numbers? Lee points out, Robin, you are created in God's image. Can't cipher either. Oy. I'm not a false prophet. You're the false prophet. But now, others of these gospel sharps have moved into the fertile fields of explaining to the thin skulls and mouth breathers and knuckle walkers who keep them afloat because it's all tax free. Hallelujah. Trying to explain to him why it is that maybe Trump isn't president anymore. So we have to go to, Scott Lively for this. Scott knows why Trump isn't president anymore. Damn straight he does. You know why Trump isn't president anymore? 'Cause the gays.
I think that's what Trump essentially did, except on the homosexual issue, which I think is his biggest mistake. And I think is the reason why he lost the election. I think that, you know, he defied God on a fundamental tenet of the Bible, and never repented of it, doubled down on it. And if any one thing could be said, you know, why, if.
Yeah, but hold on there a minute, Scotty. He did everything in his power to shit on the whole trans community. He made his voice abundantly clear that he opposed any kind of protections for gay people. Supreme Court had to do that. He was good on just about every issue, Scott Lively says. Putting children in concentration camps. Yeah. Oh, by the way, the Biden administration has begun dismantling that, too. He was good on banning Muslims because, you know, God don't like him, no Muslims. It was the gays. Powerful, powerful lobby. Powerful metaphysics. Earthquakes, volcanoes, tsunamis, smog.
If Donald Trump was, as I believe, God's man in the White House for 4 years, why did God not preserve him? Because if God had given him favor, nothing that mankind could have done could have removed him from that office, could have prevented
him.
They tried for 4 years. And yet the one thing that he did during that time that would virtually guarantee God's favor from being removed was to put his own personal stamp of approval on behavior that God condemns in the harshest possible terms in the Bible, which is specifically male homosexuality.
Specifically male homosexuality, because I'm sure, you know, it, things like Pornhub and Porn Hamster or whatever the hell it is, and those statistics being what they are, yeah, I wouldn't be at all surprised to find that Scott Lively does a little bit of, you know, well, probably likes to watch the women's have the sexy time. Yeah, right, yeah. Male homosexual, that's a different thing altogether. Absolutely.
It's homosexuality generally, but the condemnation is specific to male homosexuality, and Trump fully endorsed and backed and applauded Grinnell. And as much as I admire what Grinnell's loyalty and the things that he did in standing up for Trump in those battles, he nevertheless was an outspoken advocate for the central doctrine of the progressive movement, which is queer theory.
Yeah, what? I had no idea. Can somebody please get me on the freaking mailing list for the agenda? Damn it, I had no idea that queer theory was the central organizing principle under progressivism. I hate finding this shit out late. Daggummit. Now I got more crap I gotta read. Daggummit. Yeah, a little bit ago. Exactly, dear. A little bit ago, Agnes said in regard to the Enrique Terrio thing. So basically, the Proud Boy's a narc? Yes, he's a proud narc. I will not. I'm not suggesting anything. I'm not encouraging anything. I deplore violence. But I also know what kind of violent scum those Proud Boys are, and I really wouldn't be surprised if we find out that Enrique Terrio winds up in a ditch somewhere, face down. Jeremy in Vermont, scale. On a scale of 1 to 10 morons, I'd happily give the creator of all who can't see through a face covering 10 morons for choosing Donald J. Trump as his representative here on Earth, since his brother Jesus was all busy sitting next to Dad and everything. Well, yeah, I know. And then there's the ongoing saga of Pastor Tony Spell of the Life Tabernacle Church Central. I believe he's in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Stan. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he got taken down. He was arrested in April. Because he attacked a protester of his disease-spreading church. Then he went on to hold multiple in-person church services so people could spread the Rona to each other. Then he got put on house arrest and left the house repeatedly to go and preach at his little gospel shop. Yeah. Went so far as to say, hey, send me your stimulus checks. Pastor Spellcaster did. So it was that, Monday, Pastor Spellcaster was in church. In court. He was in court because he had made a motion to dismiss the 6 criminal charges that were filed against him. And the thing is, he wasn't even allowed inside the courthouse. Why? Because he refused to wear a mask. Because he is a toxic, evangelical idiot. So his lawyer broke the news to him that he had lost on his motion to dismiss. At which point he decided to use some incantations. And outside the courthouse said, you just ruled against God. Get ready for the judgment of God. And his mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing followers were out there with him, grunting and hooting and barking around, and smolicking, gravelating, LARPing all over each other, butthole to belly button, waving their American flags, and wore their free-breathing T-shirts. None of them wore masks either. And they declared, "We will never comply, and we will always resist. We will always stand up for the Word of God and the First Amendment of the new 90 states." Which is not at all constrained by having to wear a mask. No. And I'm sure he thinks that his God is protecting him or something because he isn't, you know, dead or nothing. And here in a minute, we've got some more. We've got another Sean Foyt sighting. Oh, yeah, of course. Because why not? Yeah, I agree. Billable Rick is awarded a cowbell to Leah in New York. Robin, you're created in God's image. You can't cipher either. Yep, I'd say that counts. Yeah, Kyle. Yeah, them evangelicals, they love them some lesbians. And Cynthia says, you ever noticed how the cucumbers always screamed about those child porn sex rings the Democrats were having in this basement or that, but they never complained about the children Trump actually had locked up in cages? Could it be maybe because Trump was the one having the child sex trafficking ring in the basement of the White House? Hell, why not accuse Trump of it and turn the tables on him and his stupid idiot cucumbers? That would be lovely if we could, you know, somehow get that to have legs, but I don't know. Oh, and Steve in New York says, in regard to Mr. Snitch, Mr. Tario, I don't like violence either, but I'm willing to just let the goddess of irony's will be done in this one. Exactly. There are things that you just can't do anything about. And by the way, subject line gays, Matt in San Francisco writes, so his point is that he lost because he didn't kill all the gays? We remember the pink triangle, motherfucker. These people make me sick. Yeah, they do. Make me sick, too. Because, you know, they want us dead. Not just out of the way or in the shadows or in the closet. Fucking dead. And somehow that is, you know, calling for a genocide against people based upon gender and sexuality. That's protected First Amendment speech, is it? Son of a gun. And I guess that was protected First Amendment speech when they were barking and grunting and hooting, the religion industry freaks and the fraudsters and the violent white supremacists and the 3%ers and the oath keepers and all of those weirdos. I guess that was protected speech, too, as they were attacking the seat of the federal government. I wonder how many Trump appointee federal judges out there would agree on a claim that a charge should be dismissed because they were only engaging in political speech by attacking the Capitol. Do you think that number's zero? Because I don't think that number is zero. No. Let's run over to the stress line and see who's there. Hey, welcome to the program.
Happy hump day to you, Bob. It's me, Reggie, from the Katy, Georgia.
Well, hey, Reggie, how are you, buddy?
Just fine. You were talking about the evangelical, white evangelical Christians. The exact same white evangelical Christians who listen to the other side of talk radio, and that's where they get their, shall we say, marching orders from. These people need to be deprogrammed from that. But how are we supposed to do that, Bob? To deprogram these people from their leaders, so to speak. And speaking of quote-unquote leaders, Bob, did you hear what these 45 assholes said about impeaching Donald Trump? They're dead set against it. They want to dismiss it. They don't want to do it. 45% of them don't want to do it. I'm sure you read that somewhere on the internet.
Yeah. No, we talked about that last night on the program, Reggie. That motion failed 55 to 45. There were only 5 Republicans who were willing to stand up for the Republic itself. The rest of them are hopelessly enthralled to Nitwit Nero.
So they're chicken shit cowards. So they're his, well, slaves, if you will. His servants, you know, they're scared of him. They'll do anything for him. The hell, they'll die for him if necessary. You know what I mean?
Unfortunately, I think you're right.
They'll die for him. So what can we do? I mean, this is going to continue on happening again, man. Like I said to you before, DC has to be, you know, protected, you know. Remember what happened at the Capitol 2 weeks ago. DC has to be, it has to be protected from something like that ever again, from something like that ever happening again, Bob. I know that sounds crazy, but it's true. Don't forget who's the president of the White House now. And they'll do anything to try to get to him. Would they not? Well, again, am I crazy or wrong for saying that?
Oh, I don't think you're crazy, Reggie.
Yeah. I mean, we don't want anything to happen to anybody, but especially him and his administration. Or the people at the Capitol ever again, man.
Well, but you can rest assured that there's some degree of plotting taking place.
Yeah. But who's behind? Yeah, but we don't, like you said, we don't know who's behind the plotting. I could say Hate Talk Radio, that's just one faction, along with Fox News TV Radio 1, as you would put it. That's one faction. But there are other factions, too. Aren't they, Bob? There are other factors or factions out there that are stirring the pot, if you will.
Well, they still want to see something. They still want to see something happen. They did not get the bloodshed for which they yearn, Reggie.
Well, I hope they don't get it now. Because what if more than five people get murdered? Then what? What will it take?
Well, I mean, yeah, but kind of hold the hell on here. You got to remember, these people wanted to hang Nancy Pelosi and, of all people, Mike Pencilneck Geek.
And what about AOC? They want to put a bullet in their head, right?
I believe they have mentioned that very same thing too.
Yeah, she was in danger of losing her life, right? You know, if it weren't for
I think she is at any given time.
Well, we got to protect her life as well as the other lives too. Because, you know, if he and his family don't go to prison, something like this will jump off. And it'll be far way much worse than it was before. Correct, Bob?
Well, I think a country cannot afford to wink at treason.
No, it can't. You know, I thought we were supposed to be a country of laws. I mean, a nation of laws, not men or women. A nation of laws. Isn't that what it says in the Constitution or the Bill of Rights or whatever?
Yeah, pretty much.
I know it says something in there. Yeah. Well, you got these assholes who refuse to obey the laws of this land and the country. Anarchy, chaos and anarchy exists, right? Hell, evil exists, right?
I don't think there's any,
you know what I mean?
I don't think there's any debate over that.
True. But we have to do something. Because I don't know who's controlling them. Well, we don't know who's controlling them. Him and Donald J. Trump, Radical Right Wing, AML from Hate Talk Radio, Fox News, TV Radio, Wonder, all of the above. You know?
It's worrisome, isn't it?
Yes, it is worse. Much, far, way much worse. And I just hope that the Biden administration put security along with getting rid of this pandemic and reversing and fixing the economy and making it stable yet once again. It's top priorities. Security has to be up there along with the other two I just mentioned. It has to be top priority along with fixing the economy and getting rid of this pandemic forever. You know what I mean?
I do. I do.
It has to be up there. Otherwise, we're lost. We're truly lost. this country, hell, this planet's truly lost. You know? If he doesn't do anything about security. I mean, what if this happens at the White House instead of the Capitol? Then what? Could you please ask me that question, Bob?
You tell me what you think.
It would be far way much worse than it was at the Capitol building. Again, what would it take? What does it take for these people to finally get their heads out of their asses and finally impeach this guy?
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, it seems pretty clear that they're, you know, I don't know if you heard it, but earlier today, the stupidest, most loathed man in the Senate of the United States. I'm talking, of course, about Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America. Rafaelito said that if we impeach, if we try Donald Trump and convict him, that next year we will impeach Jimmy Carter, and that then we'll impeach Bill Clinton some more, and then we'll impeach Barack Obama, because, you know, that's just what we can do, that the genie was be out. But...
Yeah,
it's what do you say about it, that, it's baffling to me, Reggie. It truly is how somebody can get through Harvard Law and still say goofy shit like that and be taken seriously by anyone. But it just speaks to the power of the ignorance of the modern so-called Republican Party. That's all there is to it.
Yes. And the modern so-called news media, too, Bob. I hate to put that out there, but aren't there lemmings to the news media, I mean? As you call it, the for-profit news media. Aren't there lemmings to, or am I wrong for saying that?
Some are better than others, but I'm not going to divert the focus from where it needs to be in this particular case. Right. And you got to focus. You got to focus on the perfidy of the Republicans in the Senate and the perfidy of the Republicans in the House. You know, like I said earlier, Kevin McCarthy's going to have a chat with Marjorie Taylor Greene Cucumber, having found out about all the evil shit she's talked over the last few years. He's going to have a talk with her. All he can tell her is not to say it quite so damn loud. Because he's as bad as her or any of the other maggots, the 140 maggots, who, even though the Capitol was attacked, continued to challenge the results of a legitimately held clean election.
Yeah. Don't forget about Miss Lindsay, you know, Miss Little Miss, you know.
Lady G.
Pearl Clutch, yeah. Yeah, Lady G, Little Miss Pearl Clutch. Little Miss Pearl Clutch. What about him? He said practically the same thing about the Democrats trying to impeach Donald Trump.
Well, we need to expel people from the House and Senate, and there need to be consequences for turning on your own country.
Yeah, you mean like Lady G and Mr. Booger Eater and
the primary targets are Rafaelito and young Josh Hawley, but that's not the limit by any stretch of the imagination. Oh, hell no. You know, the seven senators.
Yeah.
Were Hawley and Cruz, Cindy Hyde Smith of Mississippi Stan, John Jubilation T. Cornpone Kennedy of Louisiana, Roger Marshall of Kansas, Rick Scott of Florida, and Tommy the Tuber of Alabama, who finds himself in another bucket of shit, and, you know, it couldn't happen to a nicer guy. Because he got outed, Tommy the Tuber did. He got outed by a close Trump ally named Charles W. Herbster. Charles W. Herbster, at one point, was the national chairman of the Agriculture and Rural Advisory Committee in the Trump maladministration. And right. and on at 8:33 p.m. on the 5th day of January, he said he put up a Facebook post that said he was standing, quote, in the private residence of the president at Trump International with the following patriots who are joining me in a battle for justice and truth. And then went on to name, at that point, brand new or barely new Senator Tommy the Tuber from Alabama. Among other things, it was Tommy the Tuber, the former director of RAGA, the Republican Attorneys General Association, Director Adam Piper, okay?
Yep.
Donald Trump, you know, Trader Tot was there. Eric the Dumber was there. The trader Michael Flynn was there. Madcap economic advisor Peter Navarro and Corey Lewandowski and David Bossie, both from his 2016 campaign. And and you know, he didn't stutter or anything. Charles W. Herbster didn't. He said Tommy the Tuber was there. And now Tommy the Tuber, having heard about that, weren't neither. I weren't there. I didn't know nothing about it. I ain't never heard of no Trump Night in International Hotel. I'm a tuber.
Right. And he was found out and exposed. But don't forget about Turtle McTurtle. You got to get rid of him, too.
Well, how are you going to do that? How are you going to do that? I mean, it's one thing to say we got to do it, Reggie. It's another thing to be able to do it.
We got to vote them out, Bob. We got to vote them all out.
How are we going to vote? You live in Georgia. I'm in West Virginia. How am I going to vote out Mitch McConnell?
All right. Well, we got to do something. Maybe we can't, but the entire world can, I guess. But like you said before, we got to get rid of these people and reclaim the Senate and the Congress, you know?
Well, the only way to get rid of people like Cruz and Hawley and Cindy Hyde-Smith and Rick Skeletor Scott and the rest of them is to expel them from the Senate. And I don't know if we've got the stomach for that. I simply don't. Or, never mind the stomach, do we have the numbers for it?
Right. That's true. And we already reclaimed the White House, Bob.
Another election in four years. Another election in 4 years, Reggie.
Right. And we, you know, but we got to get, we got to reclaim this country back. Take it back from the evil, corrupt people. Who took it over and corrupted it to their whims and their will. You know?
Yep. Well, Reggie, I got folks calling in. I will talk to you soon. You stay safe. You keep wearing your mask. Keep washing your hands. Keep doing your social distancing and stuff. And you and your family take care of each other. You hear?
Yeah, you do the same thing too, Bob.
Gonna try, Reggie.
Same thing too.
Take care now.
All right. Keep warm.
Thanks. You too. It's our buddy Reggie, and let's keep things going and check in with Kevin in Colorado Springs. Hey, Kevin, how are you?
Hi, Robin. Can you hear me now?
I hear you now.
There you go. Glad to talk to you. I really enjoyed the last week. 2021 has started off with a great big bang as far as I'm concerned. 7 days of no Trump. That's something to celebrate.
Well, we're going to be mentioning him from time to time, but... his greatest nightmare has come true. He is mute and irrelevant.
Yep, that's the part I was going to say. You don't have to hear his voice on a daily basis. I've heard a couple clips, and that voice grates on me every time I hear the clips. But for 7 days, we haven't had to hear Trump bellowing something into the microphone, and that is just great. So, but it started off good here, too. I got good news. I moved back into the apartment from Winston.
Oh, Firehouse. Good.
So, I'm all back in the place I was before and settled in and doing okay, I guess. getting used to it.
There's they got everything cleaned up after the fire, and there's no smoky smell or anything left?
Oh, no. No smoky smell. It's all new stuff. The floor, where the floor collapsed in the apartment, I thought it was a total rebuild, but I really question that based on the floor in the hallway. It appears to me like they built over that damage. It's really uneven in that. It's a definite fall hazard for me. So hopefully the apartment people are going to do something about that, because it's a definite fall hazard to me. But I'm glad to be back in this apartment because it's a lot more accessible and familiar. Even though I'd gotten familiar in the place I was staying at, you know, with everything where it was, here it took me a day to get used to, if not that, half a day to get used to where things were, because pretty much everything, you know, as far as the layout of the apartment was like it was before. So, and when I did put things like bed and desk and TV and that, I kind of tried to put everything back to where, you know, like it was before the fire as best I could. So, I'm back in the apartment doing relatively well, and just wanted to call in to say hello and just wish the Warren family the best. So,
well, and the same to you. I'm glad to know that you're back in more familiar surroundings. How long were you out of there? How long did it take them to rehab the place?
8 months. Fire happened on April 28th, and I moved back in last Thursday, which I believe was the 21st. The 21st. So 8 months, 9 months almost.
And it was, and you didn't have any problem hanging on to your place, right?
No, because nobody could move in here, you know.
Yeah.
And they didn't even get the certificate of occupancy from the state or city or whatever until, like, 3 days before I moved in. So there was no danger of anybody taking it out from under me or anything. So it was just a matter of getting everything moved from the apartment I was staying in back over here. I'm getting acclimated again and, you know, and enjoying the Colorado weather, where it was 5 degrees last night. That'll keep you from doing naked radio, guarantee you.
Yeah, no kidding. Lucky for me, we had a warm day here yesterday, but it was all gone. It was all gone by this morning, and we were back to bone chilling, wet, and 36.
I had an appointment and came in late, and I heard you talking about that. How warm did it get there yesterday?
Near 70.
Oh wow!
But we as long as I've been living up here, I've noticed that about this time of year, it can happen, you know, a little bit later in February, it all depends, but about this time of year, you get one day just to sort of tease you with the fact that, you know, it is going to warm up and get nice in the future.
Yep. We get those days here, too. Periodically, we'll get a 60, 70-degree day, and you know that's the warm before the storm, and you're going to get snow like we did the last 2 days. We got about 8 inches of snow.
Well, so, you know who got snow last night was Sparky. He sent me a picture
really?
And said, "It's freaking snowing here. It hadn't done that in 50 years."
Wow!
And then it turned, and then it turned to rain, and it was all gone. But yeah, it looked like there was a nice, more than just a dusting on the ground.
Yep. Wow. My mother's from that region, so she'll be interested to hear that. She's from a little place called Delhi up there, the same area Sparky's in. So it's just I don't know how people can't accept that there is climate change. The weather just gets weird. Like you were talking about the warm days. I guess it was the end of December, the 1st of January, the days all kind of go together with Trump in office. But we had some really warm days. I mean, like one day we got up to like 75. And this is in winter, you know, and wow. And it just, and we've been in a drought up until the snowstorm the last 2 days. We were in a pretty bad drought, and we still are. This will help, but I don't know how people can't see it for what it is. And by the way, I'd have to say for all the Purity Patrol people, my approval rating on Biden's first week in office is about 94%. I've been
is that your your personal approval rating, right?
Yeah. I mean, I can't knock hardly anything. The only thing I'd knock is the unity stuff, and I get why he's doing that, but like.
Well, the only real obvious misstep that I've seen so far is this business of hiring the wingnut maggot as the official sign language interpreter for the White House press room.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of flat-footed, but you know, mistakes are going to happen.
As long as I don't mind a maggot doing the sign interpreting, I just don't want him in any part of government where they have any power at all. And you talked about it. There's got to be a rooting out of all the maggots that are in the government, in the lower levels of DOJ and the FBI, CIA, Secret Service, et cetera, et cetera. How many officers now is it up to that have been arrested that participated in the insurrection?
Oh, God. It seems like there's a new one every day. I've got one right here. Let's see. Here's a QAnon federal employee who was actually surveilled and attack the Capitol anyway.
Well,
I mean, the FBI, had this goober under surveillance, a different Kevin Strong, because Kevin Strong was running around saying that I've got Q clearance and World War III is coming on January 6th.
Oh, good. And the FBI, were they surveilling him before the insurrection, or this?
Yeah, they were since before, because he was out there running his mouth about having Q clearance and there's a war coming, and displayed a WWG1 WGA flag. You know, where we derp one, we derp all.
Yep.
And even went and even though he was under surveillance, went ahead and went into the Capitol during the, you know, during the attack.
Well, what gets me is that group that committed the insurrection really thought they were going to be successful, and they came very close to doing it, but there were a lot of stupid people in that crowd is why it didn't succeed. And the heroism of that one D.C. cop that steered him away from the House chamber or the house where the people were hiding in from the House. So, but you look at some of those people, like the guy from here in Colorado Springs, it was a former Olympian wearing his USA team jacket.
Yeah, that guy was a genius.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, real genius. Stood out like a sore thumb. And, of course, he was another one that was posting stuff before the insurrection, so it wasn't real hard to tie everything together when they did finally get the papers to arrest him. They had all the evidence they needed. And he immediately lost his job with the realty company he worked for here in Colorado Springs. So, you know, which I felt no sorrow for. But we were lucky that nothing worse happened that day. And
but the thing is, they're still whipped up into a white, and I do mean white hot frenzy, Kevin, because among other things, alongside the potential domestic terror bulletin that was released today by Homeland Security. Well, in the wake of what happened January 6th, apparently, with the coming Senate trial of Nitwit Nero, there is a new raft of threats.
Yep.
Interviewed by the Associated Press, one official from federal law enforcement said that the threat of insurrectionists coming back has led to the Capitol Police asking for 5,000 National Guard troops to stay in the Capitol longer than they'd already planned.
Yep. The only positive thing about that is this time we have a president and leaders now in those security agencies, FBI and such, that have started to root out some of the people in there. Whereas with Trump, he was having the National Guard stand down. He wouldn't issue the order to bring the National Guard in. And that alone should have not taking into account he whipped up the crowd to go and fight that riot. That single count of not giving the order to bring in the National Guard should be impeachable all by itself. And that just was very sad. That was a stain on our country, plain and simple. It should be regarded as one of the darker days in our history. To have a president do that, and I know history is marked, the victors always write the history, but I hope in 50, 100 years, Trump is regarded as the traitor he is. And we'll just see how it plays out, but I'm a little bit hopeful in that more people voted for Biden than they did for Trump. And
that's not just a couple of people. That's multiple millions of people.
Oh, yeah. I had no TV, radio, internet for the first couple of days I moved in here. I just had a portable AM/FM radio. And one of the news stations here carries Sean Hannity. I didn't listen to the whole show, but I heard a clip where Hannity is talking about the 74 million votes Trump got, the most votes Republicans ever got, and by God, he should be declared the winner of the election because more people voted, more blacks, more African-Americans, more Indians, indigenous people.
But he couldn't bring himself to mention the 84 million other people who didn't.
No, of course not. No, that was the one part he was leaving out, and I just was like, oh, you got to be kidding me. You can't bring
even after all these years, it's still kind of shocking when you hear them just engaging in that blatant level of dishonesty.
Well, it's not only blatant, it's propaganda. That's what it is. You listen, anybody with a half-thinking mind hears it for what it is. But for the dim-witted followers of somebody like Sean Hannity, they just parrot what he says. And, you know, 81 million people voted for President Biden and Kamala Harris. And that's all I cared about, the 81 people that voted for him.
Well, exactly. I mean, that's the way that, you know, it's kind of supposed to work.
Yeah. And when they finally do away with the, what do you call it? I'm blanking on the name. Can't think of the name of it. What is the where Hillary Clinton lost in the last election? She got
the Electoral votes. College.
Electoral College. Thank you. When that goes away, will not be a day too soon for me.
Nor I.
But anyway, I just wanted to call in and say how glad I am to be back here in these apartments and share the news with all the Horn family. And
no, we are happy for you.
I got one small request.
Okay.
Last night I was listening to Malloy after your show, and then I went into a replay of the Inauguration Day show on January 20th. And there was a song that became kind of an earworm for me last night called Trump Is Gone. And I was wondering if you could play that periodically just to remind us.
You know, that's a lovely idea, and I will. I will.
Well, thank you. Because, man, I was singing that all night up until the time I closed my eyes. Trump is gone. So, anyway, that's it, Bob. I'm going to let you go, and thank you very much for taking my call, and keep on keeping on doing what you're doing.
Absolutely will. Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate you jumping in like that, and I'm awfully glad that you're back home.
Thank you, Bob, or Robin. Sorry about that.
It's okay. But nobody's keeping count here.
Well, thank you, and I will talk to you later.
All right. Sounds good. Kevin, take care, my friend. Bye now. That's our buddy Kevin calling from Colorado Springs. By the way, we are more than 2 hours into the program now, and we had a $415 fundraising goal at the beginning of the program, and it is still a $415 fundraising goal, trying to get January wiped out. And, well, there we stand. So, we'll see. Hopefully we'll be able to get this met at some point in time. Because, you know, a bunch of end-of-the-month bills to pay and all of that stuff. Let's see. Let's look here at what the is Q clearance, says Arthur. Well, Q clearance is what you get. When you've been told you've received special instructions from Q, and that makes you an especially important cucumber. That's your Q clearance is what that is right there. Yeah. But I know what the is Q clearance. It's just nuttery. Just nuttery. And Jude with a note to Kevin. A shout out to my pal, Kevin, a good man, another gift from the Horn, peace, and to you as well, Jude, to you as well. Thank you. In point of fact, Jude, there we are communicating on a higher plane. I don't think you heard, I think I had the mic muted when I was unwrapping it, but just while I was talking to Kevin, I've been sitting here enjoying one of the sugar-free See's butterscotch lollipops. Beats the hell out of a cigarette. It really, really does. And I'm trying to back off on the nicotine pouches too, because I don't like getting the nick-ups and the nerps in the middle of the broadcast. Every day's a little bit of progress. Lou said, I thought you were going to talk about double masking. I will when I have a better handle on how to do it. And I've been looking around, and I can't find, you know, something authoritative enough to feel like we can rely on it, so to speak, all the way down to the ground. But I want to go back to this just because I find it so delightful to watch these treasonous little bastards dance. The story about Alabama junior senator Tommy the Tuber, because he has all the brains of a potato, trying to run away from the fact that he was integral in the insurrection, because it turns out that at one point in time, as the insurrectionists were attacking the Capitol and breaking into it on January the 6th, you know, Trump supporters, well, both Nitwit Nero and Rudy Giuliani tried to call Tommy the Tuber, but accidentally called Utah Republican constitutional scholar Mike Lee instead of reaching Tommy the Tuber. Yeah. In the recorded voicemail message accidentally left on Lee's phone, Giuliani says, he thinks he's talking to Tommy the Tuber and says, "I want to discuss with you how they're trying to rush this hearing and how we need you, our Republican friends, to try to just slow it down so we can get these legislatures to get more information to you." Yeah. So, well, it gets terribly, terribly complex and terribly, terribly disloyal and treasonous. For instance, Mo Brooks, Les Brames of Alabama, was at the launch zone for the attack on the Capitol, laughably referred to as a rally. That's where he stepped up to the microphone and said, "Today is the day that American patriots start taking down names and kicking ass." Yeah. And meanwhile, Charles Herbster dropped the dime on Tommy the Tuber. January the 5th, 9:33 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. "I've dedicated my life to promoting and preserving the American dream. Tonight, as I look at our nation's flag, I'm reminded of the battles and blood spilled to protect our way of life. For me, the white signifies purity and innocence." Naturally, it's red, white, and blue, but for him, it's white and everything else. "For me, the white signifies purity and innocence. Red, hardiness and valor. And the blue, especially today, signifies perseverance and justice. While so many have chosen the easy path, I will continue to fight for what is honest and true. Right now, I stand in the private residence of the president at Trump International with the following patriots who are joining me in a battle for justice and truth. U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville, Alabama. Mr. Donald Trump, Jr. Mr. Peter Navarro, Assistant President Donald J. Trump, Director of Trade and Manufacturing Policy and the National Defense Production Act Policy Coordinator, Mr. Eric Trump. Mr. Adam Piper, Executive Director of Republican Attorney General Association. Mr. David Bossie, President," and you know, the reason the Republican Attorney General's Association was there was because they had been active in encouraging people to come to Washington and participate in that vile exercise in treason. Mm-hmm. Well, January 12th, Mr. Piper of the Republican Attorneys General Association, well, he He wanted to spend more time with his family, so he resigned from that organization because it got it got out what they'd done. They set up this communications arm of RAGA, Republican Attorney General's Association. And this is what was going out in the way of a robocall in advance of January 6th. I'm calling for the Rule of Law Defense Fund with an important message. The march to save Merca is tomorrow in Washington, D.C., at the Ellipse in President's Park between E Street and Constitution Avenue on the south side of the White House, with doors opening at 7 a.m. At 1 p.m., we're going to march to the Capitol building and call on Congress to stop the steal. We're hoping patriots like you will join us to continue to fight to protect the integrity of our elections. For more information, visit marchtosaveamerica.com. This call is paid for and authorized by the Rule of Law Defense Fund, 202-796-5838. Yeah. And see, this goes back to something that I have been talking about for a while. There's a term out there called eliminationism. And it goes hand in hand with the concept of eliminationist language. And eliminationist language is the kind of language that partakes of terms like fight and battle and kill. And so there it is. Fight to protect the integrity of our elections. Well, they said to fight, so they went and they fought. They fought a cop and used a fire extinguisher to bash his brains in. They were called on to fight, and they fought. And every member of the Republican Attorneys General Association should be up on charges. Incitement to riot. And none of them should ever be allowed to hold a position of trust again. So, let's see if we've got any more religious wackadoodleage. Yeah, I knew we did. I said that there'd been a Sean Foyt sighting. Well, we go to El Cajon, California, where over the past weekend, Sean Foyt showed up for another one of his super spreader events because there just aren't enough people with COVID in California as far as Sean Foyt is concerned. And they didn't even have to get a permit for the event because the mayor of El Cajon, California, was an active participant and did all the praying before the super spreader event started. Yeah. Speaking to the Union Tribune newspaper, the mayor of El Cajon, Bill Wells, said, "It was an important event because it gave people hope, and we badly need hope during the pandemic." You know what you'd need during the pandemic? Not to get the Rona. But that was pretty stupid, but then he doubled down. "I want to emphasize, I spoke with Sean Foyt, who told me contact tracing shows this is not spreading the virus." Yeah, only that's a fucking lie. At least somebody did show up to make things a little bit interesting. A protester in a grim reaper costume with a megaphone, a bullhorn, was passing out face masks as he hollered at Sean Foyt, "How many people have you killed due to no masks at your event, Sean?" And he asked it over and over and over and over again. But, you know, you really don't have to worry about the Rona. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad you tuned in tonight? You don't have to worry about the Rona because Pastor George Pearson's, he's the son-in-law of Kenneth Copeland. Ha, 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 ha. Yeah. He's the son-in-law of Kenneth Copeland, and he's got a message for us. Yes, he does. George Pearson's. Get the hockey puck.
And as we get started in this service this morning, I wanted to read this scripture to you, and then you and I are going to continue to take our stand over COVID-19. It cannot come near us. It cannot touch us. It is dying even at this moment. It says in Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all."
Did he just call for the coronavirus to be blessed? Because I think he did.
"Thy diseases, who redeems our lives from destruction, who crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies our mouths with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles."
Really? Like the eagles? Don Felder? Joe Walsh? Don Henley? I mean, I don't think all the Eagles can be renewed because isn't Glenn Frey gone to the great Eagles nest in the sky? And what's that about all good things to eat? Tasty coronavirus. Delicious with sweet taters.
Father, we thank you right now and praise you that COVID-19 is a name, and the name of Jesus is above that name. COVID-19, bow your knee. Bow your knee to the name, which is...
It would love to, Bub, but the virus don't got no knee. That's why it's a coronavirus. Oh, it hurts. It just hurts.
Above every name. And I thank you that this congregation is healed and whole and delivered. And Lord, all of those that are watching us right now, they are free from every symptom of COVID. We believe it, we receive it, and we thank you, Father, for it. In Jesus' name, come on, let's give God praise and thanksgiving for that. Glory to the
Lord. Yeah, I love the beginning of the disco tune there. It was a nice touch. If you heard it, you're free of COVID symptoms. Of course, he'll claim that even if he didn't have any to begin with, because well, he's gospel sharp. What are you gonna do? Everyone watching were healed from the virus. Now that took place last week. And I'm pretty sure that there's somebody who was, there's a lot of dead people since then that did not get healed of the Rona. Well, that's fair enough. cowbell for Randy Radar. Yeah. It doesn't have knees, but it's got knobby things. I don't think they can bow on them, though. Don't. Hey, we got off the schneid. Thank you very, very kindly. Okay, Horn family, this is me digging deep into my change. I'm tapped out for a bit. Please dig deep with me. And so now, thank you, Jeremy, we are down to $410 to go to finish the week and finish January. And it would be great if we didn't have to sweat this on a Friday on the Front Porch Community Made Miracle. It really, really would. Thank you. Thank you, Jeremy. Robert in Australia. He's a witch. Burn him. Burn the heretic. Burn some sense into him, I say. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, this same clown has complained that COVID restrictions are the same as, because that's what they say, this is crazy shit. It's the same as Nazism. Sure. Why the hell not? Yeah. Okay, let's check in on the stress line, see what's going on. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Robin. How are you? This is Kirk up here.
Kirk, how are you?
In the frozen tundra. I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing?
How is the tundra nicely frozen?
Oh, we are frozen here, my friend. Oh, my God. We were down to about 21 below here last night. And we had a high of around 4 below. So welcome to winterland up here.
So stuff's all nicely frozen over and the ice fisher people are out now, right?
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Yes. In fact, I was just talking to a friend back in my hometown here a couple of days ago, and he was out fishing, and the ice is around 12, well, it's about a foot deep of ice. So they're driving on the lake, and they're fishing to beat hell.
I would not turn down a nice platter of pan fried walleye. No, I would not.
Yes, that's right. Well, I just wanted to call and I wanted to congratulate you on going outdoors. I saw your great interview with
Trans Talk Raw, yeah.
And I must say, you know, there, Robin, that at first I thought I was watching, you know, like an old episode of Laugh-In. I was waiting for you to look your wife over the head with your purse. But
Nice.
But I thought, no.
Well, we've also been compared to Gandalf and Frodo, so, you know, because just the way the seating was set up. Yeah, she was sitting much lower than I, and I'm going to get a second. Like I probably,
right.
I'm going to get a second chair for in here. That just, yeah.
Well, no, I don't mean that in a bad way, you know.
Nor do I. It's just that it looked like I was about 8 feet tall, and she was, about 3.5.
Yes, that's right. And well, I remember you mentioned someone else had mentioned that you looked like a white haired King Kong or something about, I can't remember who it was that said that. Like in the movie,
You
know, the original King Kong.
Well,
yeah.
I was thinking more in terms of, it reminded me of the Abominable Snowman from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, which.
Oh, yeah. That, yes, yeah. That's probably what it was. Yes. Yes. Well, I just wanted to congratulate you on that. And but another reason I called here is too is that being that it's a church meeting or what is it? Prayer meeting Wednesday.
Prayer meeting Wednesday. Yeah.
You had a great conversation with a gentleman. I think he's from New York. I don't remember the gentleman's name, but he had asked you, Robert, I think this was, probably about a month ago or so. And he had asked you a question about when you parted the sea from God, like you say, God. I like that when you say that. And you had mentioned that you kind of, that you started to realize or that you started to change when you were in college. And that was pretty much how I sort of saw, my opinion about religion also was when I was in college also. Although I will preface this, Bob, I never went through, like what you went through down there in the South. I was raised as a Lutheran, And I was also confirmed in the Lutheran Church. But I always did sort of like question, all this religion.
Well, in my case, Kurt, it was, there's nothing quite like studying religion. And I'm not just talking about Christianity. There's nothing quite like studying religion under someone who really, really knows what the hell they're talking about and isn't coming at it from a believer's point of view, but is simply teaching it as, you know, existentially. And so then you get to actually engage in inquiry without anybody hollering, you know, burn the heretic. So it turns out that most atheists, and part of the reason they are atheists is because they know the Bible better than the believers do. You know, for every one of these gospel sharp SOBs who's out there, the gays, trans, you know, I just like to catch them one day eating a shrimp and just go up and slap it out of their hands and say, all right, let's get some rocks. Time to stone him. He ate a shrimp.
Right.
You know, grab him by the collar and look at the tag of his shirt and go, yeah, that's a polycotton blend. You're fucked.
Right. Yes. And that is very true. And not only that, but even, Robin, your average day Christian, they don't even know what the hell they're talking about.
Oh, no. I mean, if you're going to get worked up about, you know, and a man shall not put on the raiment of a woman, and a woman shall not put on the raiment of a man, and a man shall not lie with a man, but we do like our lesbian porn. If you're going to do all that, then, you know, you got to be ready for the rest of it. I mean, that part where, you know, Lot's daughters get Lot liquored up, and you're my daddy, and the older daughter, and then the younger daughter the next night says, "No, get him liquored up again. Do him too. We'll both get knocked up with daddy." Yeah, boy, I tell you what, that's some family values, that incest. That's what that is. Family values.
Right. And you know, another thing I noticed with these people too, they don't like to live within the parameters of their own religion, but they want everybody else to.
Right. Naturally. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's rules for thee and not for me.
Right. Exactly. Yes. You know, but, I never went through like what you went through or anything like that. And you know, to be real frank with you, I just never got it. With religion. I mean, I understand it, and I understand the origins and all this stuff, but it never did sort of inspire me. It never gave me solace or nothing like that. I just never, you know, it just never really registered with me for some reason. And, but it wasn't until I went to college and then it became very, very clear to me that what I was thinking all along was, it pretty much reaffirmed what I always sort of thought about religion in my own private thoughts. You know, I had a really good sociology professor in college, my first year in college, and he went to school over in Hamlin University, which is, now that's in Minnesota, Bob, and it's one of these private, well-heeled colleges. It's sort of like
St. Olaf's and places like that. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, sort of like the Harvard of Minnesota. You know what I mean? That sort of thing. And I don't remember what the topic was of the lecture, but he was really a really good professor. But I think the topic of the lecture was something to do with marriage or the system of marriage or whatever it was. But he said in the lecture room, he said to us in the class, he said, well, whatever you get out of this lecture today, he said, just remember this. We are all products of irrational behavior. and I never forgot that, Bob. And, you know, it's really true when you think about it.
Well, I think you're right.
Yes, yes. And, you know, he, and I sort of view us humans as just another species of animal. I mean, really.
Well, I mean, that's what we are.
Pretty much. Yes, that's right. That's right. And
I mean, we are primates. We are not descended from we are not descended from chimpanzees or gorillas or that they are a different branch. But
right.
We all have a common primate ancestor.
Yes. Right. Right.
And that doesn't bother me. That doesn't upset me.
No. Oh, no. No. No, me neither. No. No, it's just, you know, and I think the origins of life, you know, is a lot more complicated than some spook got up in the clouds. Yes. And it's, you know, you can go on this topic forever, you know, but I think it's very true. And, it's kind of interesting. And then of course everything evolves. I mean, just like everything else changes and evolves and, you know, there's different types of, you know, like a species of birds that die off and there's another new species of birds or plants. Or, you know, whatever. It just, everything just kind of keeps evolving, you know? And,
I mean, that's basically the recipe for life on Earth, whether you're a dinosaur.
Yeah.
Or a paramecium or
right.
A human being.
Right.
Or a Republican.
Right.
Well, wait. No. They don't evolve. That explains that explains the mouth walking and the knuckle breathing.
Yes, yes. Well, they evolved, but they kind of evolved in the wrong way. It seems like it's just everything is, you know, everything is ass backwards now. It's just.
Yeah, it
you
is.
Know, just stupid.
Is everything is ass backwards now.
That's the
understatement of the program. You definitely get a jingle for that, Kirk.
Oh, okay.
Oh, and I want you to know, I still have it. You know, when I've got things freed up a little bit, I still have it in my mind to. I'm going to order me some Wishek sausage. I got to try that stuff.
Yes, you should. Yes, I should really look into that too. I haven't done it yet. Either, but I think I'll try it here sometime. Although I'm not much of a meat eater, I mean I will eat meat, of course, but I don't eat it on, you know, like on a regular basis. I do a lot of steaming, Bob. I do a lot of steaming of vegetables and
nice, yeah,
and stuff like that. And it seems to have paid off. I've been doing that ever since I was in my 20s, and from what they tell me, I'm as healthy as, you know, as a bed bug or, you know, whatever a bed bug, whatever that's supposed to be. But yeah, so I do a lot of steaming. Potatoes, carrots, broccoli, cauliflower, beans,
when you steam your cauliflower, have you ever, after you're done steaming it, have you ever turned it into like a, dumped it in a hot oiled iron skillet and fried it a little bit?
No.
Oh, it's fantastic.
No.
Oh, it's delicious. It's wonderful.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Well, I'll have to try that.
Just kind of pan fry it, you know, let it get a little bit of, you know, let it get a little bit of, you know, mark to it, you know, a little bit of blackening, you know.
Sure.
and season sure. it, season it however you want. But man, it's good. Oh, pan-fried cauliflower is fantastic.
Oh wow, wow. Well, that even sounds good. Yeah. Well, you know, I also steam like you know, like an onion in there too, and
maybe
a little bit of garlic in there. So I do a lot of that.
You know what a great underappreciated root vegetable is? Rutabagas.
Rutabagas. Sure.
Oh, I love those. Sure. You know, if you're not careful, you can come to losing a digit or two trying to peel the little bastards. But they're so good steamed, and you just hit them with the butter and the black pepper, and whoa. I haven't had rutabagas in a long time. I love those things. I probably can't eat them now because of the potassium.
Oh, I see. Sure. Right. Right. Well, you know, I don't know when the last time I had rutabagas. Jesus, I think it's been a long time.
Yeah, you just kind of, you know, they're there in the produce aisle, and you just kind of cruise by them, and you think, nah. But they really are worth the effort once in a while.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, I'll have to try that. Yeah. Jeepers. Yeah, you know, I forget about all that stuff, too.
Yeah, I mean, I love, you know, a rutabaga is kind of like a giant turnip, but I think they're sweeter than turnips, and they've just got a beautiful flavor. And they're really great.
Right.
They're really good on the grill.
Wow.
You know,
wow.
Peel them and cut them in nice round sections for the grill, and just put them on a hot grill the same way that you basically would, you know, any flat round thing like a hamburger or whatever, and grill them and turn them until they're nice and soft, and they're wonderful.
Oh, wow.
And they get the little nice char grill marks on them. Yeah, it's yummy.
Sure. Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah, no, I'll have to try that sometime. Yeah, that sounds interesting. Yeah.
And if you hit them, and if you hit them with a little lemon juice, yeah.
Right. You know, when I was at Worthington, we used to pick asparagus because it would grow wild out there.
Oh, yeah.
Down there in southern Minnesota. And, oh, my God, was that ever good. You know, they used to fix that once we would pick it and stuff. And, you know, put a little, you know, butter on them. And, oh, my God, Robin. Oh.
Yeah. Oh, no, I love asparagus. And, you know, the big thing in spring in Germany is the white asparagus, because they erect little tents, or not tents, but screens over the asparagus fields to keep the chlorophyll from developing.
Oh.
And so they stay white.
Oh,
and it
sure.
just has, it just has a beautiful flavor. To take some asparagus and just toss it in olive oil and hit it with some coarse kosher salt and put that on the grill. Oh, it grills up fantastic.
Right.
It's beautiful. Just beautiful. And I'm just told here, I just had a note from Randy in PA. Rutabagas mashed with mashed potato is a Norwegian dish.
Oh, well, jeepers, I should have known that. Well, of course, I'm not Norwegian, but I'm Swedish. But, you know, but they're pretty much the same.
it's something that only matters to Norwegians and Swedes, right?
Right. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah.
That sounds really tasty. Damn, I'm making myself hungry.
Yes, yes. Well, my mother was French, French Canadian, and she used to make, what was that? It was a French dish too, and she spoke French very, very fluent, Robin. You know, I used to know a lot of French because she taught me a lot of French, but of course, when you don't use it, you know, you kind of lose it all. But I can't remember what it was. It was like a souffle of some kind. Can't think of it now. But she could really cook.
Souffle.
I can't remember the name of it. Yeah, it was some sort of a souffle she made. But it was, guys. You know, but it was such a long time ago, Bob. Of course, I wasn't home home all that much either. You know, I came home at 75. And then, of course, in 1980, I headed off for college then in 1980. So I wasn't home very much. And that was the downside of going to the, you know, to the handicapped school that I went to. And, you know, I wasn't home very much. So I was always gone, it seemed like. But it was some sort of a souffle. I can't remember. I can't remember what it was though. It had a French name, I know. God, I just can't think of it. But it was really good, I remember. Although I'm not into the food porn like what you guys, I mean, you guys know this stuff so well. And it's sort of fun to listen to, you know, when you guys are talking the food porn. And I've never had grits like what you have down in the South. I've never ever tried your grits.
Hey, you know, they're an acquired taste. I love them. And I'm cheating. I buy those Quaker instant grits, the red eye ham and red eye gravy grits, and I think they're just wonderful. And we Agnes melts a couple of slices of hot pepper cheese into it for me, and it's just creamy and wonderful. And it'll on a cold morning like what you got going on, they'll warm you up real nice.
Oh, how's your winter been down there?
You know, Agnes and I were talking about it. So far, you know, we had that really, I mean, it's actually kind of the kind of winters I like, except for the wet and sloppy and bone chilling part. But we got a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Christmas Day snow, and you know, a couple of dustings here and there, but, you know, nothing major. It's been fairly mild. Like I said, we got up near 70 yesterday, which was weird. But, you know, I'm probably jinxing myself because we've got a winter weather advisory this evening. And pretty much snow falling steadily through the night and into the morning. And I guess things are going to be messy in the morning, but it's supposed to end by, like, sunrise. And the low gets down to about 20. The low gets down to about 21. But, you know, this sloppy, wet, cold 21 will go freeze you all the way to your innards.
Oh, jeepers. Yeah. Well, you know, we haven't had too bad of a winter up here too. And it hasn't been cold up until now. You know, we've had a very, very, very mild winter here so far up until now. And we don't have much snow here. I think we only got about 4 inches here. It, you know, there isn't much snow here.
Yeah, climate change is real.
Oh, you're darn right it is. Yes, yes. No, we don't have the winters like we used to up here because, Jesus, I remember when we would get down to 35 below and that would last, you know, 2-3 weeks of that. And then the high temperature would, you know, would only get up to around 15-20 below at best, you know. So it's, we don't have winters like we used to here. And we used to get like lots of snow up here. It's definitely not like it used to be. In fact, the winters here now up here remind me of the winters that I remember we used to have down in Worthington, down in the southern part of Minnesota. And it's down there, their winters, you know, is a little bit more milder down there, and they will get like lots of snow, but it doesn't get as bone chilling like it would up here. And but the winters up here now, they sort of remind me of the winters that we used to have down in southern Minnesota. So there's definitely climate change for sure. Very much so.
Without a doubt.
So
Well, but you know, it is cold enough to keep the cars from going through the ice. That's what worries me. So.
Yeah, well, that's the main thing. Yes, right. And in fact, you know, we used to have to plug in our cars here.
Oh yeah, keep the engine block from freezing.
Yes, that's right. And then, of course, with them older cars, you know, back in the day, we just had, I miss those older cars from the 70s and 60s, you know, when you just worried about the points and plugs and you replace them and you were all set to go again.
Yeah, you were good. You were fine as frogs here. No, now it's all computer controlled. Yeah. And, it blows my mind. I was talking about the coffee maker that Chris sent me for my birthday. It's beautiful. It's amazing. It looks like some sort of sculpture from the Museum of Modern Art, and it's got these damped servo motors. You know, you touch it and the thing goes and opens up, and the thing is, you drop the little pod in it, and the little pod has a barcode around the edge of it, and the damn thing actually reads the pod and knows how much water to put through it.
Isn't that something?
Blows my mind. Makes a fantastic cup of coffee, too.
Wow. Now, what kind of a coffee maker was that, you said?
It is it's a Nespresso Vertuo machine, V-E-R-T-U-O.
Wow.
And you order the proprietary pods, and there's all kinds of different coffee pods. And it really, really is good coffee. Especially if you like things now, like espresso, and you don't want to, you know, you don't have to take all the time of, you know, with the tamping and the thing and then the froth. No, it's, you know, drop it, push the button, go, and you know, 2 minutes later, you got some fantastic espresso.
Wow! Now, do you have to worry about the plastic?
No, Rob? No. The pods themselves are aluminum.
Oh, I see.
And they've got an aluminum cover, and the underside of the aluminum cover has a barcode printed around the outer edge that sits in the machine, the machine reads it, and I only mentioned all that because you were talking about, you know, you can't work on cars anymore because of all the gizmos and whatnot.
Right.
No, I just had a note from I just had a note from Jeremy in Vermont. Who said, hey, you want to trade, when we were talking about the weather. Jeremy will be, the overnight low tomorrow for Jeremy in Vermont will be 3. The overnight low for Friday will be 1. The overnight low for Saturday will be 0. But the thing is, it's not that much of an improvement here, because Thursday, Friday, and Saturday here, the lows are 16, 16, 30. And then, in the 1st of February, we get down into some 19s and 21s, and again, that's that hateful bone, that's that hateful bone chilling garbage.
Right. Yeah. It's always about that time frame there too. Yeah. You know, the early February.
But I'm getting optimistic.
Well, the days are getting a little bit longer, just a little bit. You know, you can see it.
Yeah, the days are getting a little bit longer.
Anyway,
and Groundhog Day is Tuesday, not that I put any stock in that, but you know, remember we got an early spring last year thanks to Groundhog Day, and I was grateful for it. Once we end January, it's only 59 days to the first day of spring. Yay!
Right. Yeah.
And I can
my birthday, actually.
First day of spring is your birthday?
Yeah, my birthday is, you betcha, March 21st. I'll be 60 years old, for God's sake.
Wow.
That's hard to believe.
Well, happy birthday, 59 days from now to you. I'll have to
Well, your birthday's coming up, or?
Yeah, Sunday.
Well, no, your birthday. Oh, Sunday. Well, happy early birthday.
Well, thank you very kindly. I do appreciate it. Agnes and I were talking earlier. This one's going to be a real milestone. This is my first, you know, really me birthday, and I'm terribly, terribly excited. It's wonderful.
Right.
But we've run out of time, but it's wonderful talking to you. Please stay warm and stay out of the wind. And
oh yes, you too.
And if you've got a buddy who'll bring you some walleye, you know, well, don't look a gift walleye in the mouth, Kurt.
No, I sure won't. I sure won't, Robin. My phone is about ready to bust out here too. I didn't realize my phone was low on power.
Oh, no worries, so, no worries. You take care of yourself. Pardon?
Hey, though, before I go, though, Bob, I have to give you a TV viewing tip, though.
Yes,
you
please.
Gotta watch Turner Classic Movies on Saturday or else on Sunday morning. You gotta watch a Lee Marvin movie, and it's on the Noir Alley, and it's called The Killers. It's actually a remake of the short story by Ernest Hemingway, but it's a different version. And it was made in 1964. Lee Marvin's in it. John Cassavetes, the late great Claude Akins, and also North Dakota's own Angie Dickinson is in it.
I didn't know Angie Dickinson was North Dakota's own. How about that?
Yeah, she is.
Oh, that's
and also Ronald Reagan's last film, and he plays a bad guy. So you got to watch it, Bob. That movie's a hoot.
Yeah, typecasting. Ronald Reagan, villain.
Right. Right.
Well, that sounds great. I'll try to make a note of it Lee Marvin's one of my favorite actors from that time period.
Oh, yeah.
One of my favorite movies is The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance. Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah, they don't make actors like that anymore.
Nope.
Okay, Robin. Well, nice talking with you.
Hey, great talking with you, Kurt. We'll talk soon. You stay warm, you hear?
You too.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Our buddy Kurt calling from frozen North Dakota, but not particularly snowy North Dakota. So that's it for this prayer meeting Wednesday. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. I'm not kidding. I'm absolutely worn out, and I'll probably... it'd be nice to think I'm going to sleep for 12 hours this evening, but you really can't catch up with it that way. But thanks, everybody, and thanks to an anonymous friend who jumped in with an early birthday present. We are now down to $110 to go to finish January. Thank you so much. Thank you so much indeed. That means I'm going to be doing some bill paying once we're off air here. Thanks to all of you who keep the program going with your kind subscriptions, PayPal and Patreon, and your a la carte contributions. All of the above in some cases. Thank you very much, so much. You're why the program exists. And we are eternally grateful for that. Thanks to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan in the chat room this evening. Thank you to Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, brand new, fresh Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best way to listen to the first run of Malloy is at headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiteroadsociety.org. Please, please continue to heal. I know how annoying it is, Ben, but please just keep getting better and keep your chin up. And, you know, your leg elevated, too, for that matter. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. The best way to stay safe is to stay home. If you can't stay home and you have to be out and about, then you have to do your best to protect yourself. We will be talking about double masking. Thank you, Lou, for sending me some articles along. I'll do my best to read and comprehend that. Maybe we can take it up on the front porch. But wear your masks. Don't touch your face. Wash your hands. Use hand sanitizer liberally. Carry it everywhere you go. Wear your gloves if you have them. maintain your social distance, you know, 15 feet between people with masks and, well, 15 miles if someone doesn't have a mask on. And above all, if somebody comes towards you saying, he got 30 meetings with senators and I didn't get none and I don't got no media exposure. Avoid that woman like the plague, because she is. Later.